بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. This is going to be our session 3 for the Ziwar of Imam Hussein عليه الصلاة والسلام and the etiquettes of Ziyarat we took, and we're going to take a little bit of the philosophy of Ziyarat. The first thing, we are going to start Najaf. Like, if we have like a map of Iraq in the picture, you will see that Najaf is down, Najaf al-Ashraf, where Imam Ali alayhi salatu is buried. And then we have Karbala, where Imam Hussein and Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas are buried. And the martyrs of Karbala, the whole Karbala package. And then we go north, it's Baghdad. Beside Baghdad, in 15 minutes distance, there's a city adjacent to Baghdad, or it's like a suburb city of Baghdad. It's called Kadhmain. Kadhmain. In Al-Kadhmain, there are two Imam Musa al-Kadhim. Two Kadhmain means two. Ithnain, Kadhmain. Imam Musa al-Kadhim and his grandson Imam Muhammad al-Jawad. So where is his son? His son is Imam Musa al-Kadhim's son is Imam Ali al-Ridha, who is buried in Iran, in Khurasan, in Mashhad. And then after that, Imam Jawad. So these are two Kadhmain, grandson and grandfather. So these are buried here in Kadhmain. And of course, then we have Samarra. Samarra, basically, it was a war zone. If you go now, you see the bullets and everything. And it was like a war zone after the fall of Saddam. So you will see that Samarra, several times it has been bombed by the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, because they are extreme enemies of Ahlul Bayt. They had war with the Shias there. So what happens, the government now has made a wall from the bus station to the shrine. There's a wall. Nobody can enter there, that area, unless the security check and everything is done. Because twice these evil people, they may Allah curse them and condemn them, they exploded the shrine of Samarra. Samarra shrine, there are two infallibles. Imam Ali al-Hadi, the 10th Imam, and 11th Imam, Imam Hassan Askari, and the birthplace of the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, because we know he's the only Imam who was born in Samarra. Most of the Imams are born in Medina, except for Imam Ali alayhi salam, was born in Holy Kaaba, and the 12th Imam, he was born in Samarra. Other than that, all of the Imams, either they were in Medina or outskirts of Medina. So 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala's birthplace is there. His mother and his aunt, they are buried with Imam Hassan al-Askari. So this great shrine includes four graves, two graves of the Imams and them. And then we have in Medina al-Munawwara, we have four infallibles beside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are our 14 infallibles scattered all around these three countries, Saudi Arabia, Iraq and Iran. And then we have also a visitation in Syria, Sayyida Zainab alayhi salatu wasalam, a sister of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are our main ziyarats. Like, it goes from Saudi Arabia to Syria, and then it goes to Iraq, and then ends up to Iran, like a crescent. That's why visitation crescent. So people, they used to go after Hajj, they will go visit Bibi Zainab salamullah alayhi in Damascus, and then they will arrive in Iraq on Muharram, because after the Hajj is Muharram, and they will spend there until the 40th. After 40th, they will leave for Iran and do the visitation. So they will be doing Hajj, and after that the Sham, and after that Iraq, and after that Iran. So it's like a curve. So anyhow, we are not going to take more details about other, because mainly the request was from those who are visiting Iraq and Iran. So that's why I'm giving these sessions, and we're going to emphasize more on Iraq and Iran. And inshallah, close to the Hajj time, we're going to give some of the things about the infallibles buried in Medina and the history of Baqiyya. This Baqiyya and Medina, they were shrines. But the Wahhabi movement, the extreme enemies of Ahlul Bayt, they came and they destroyed the graves of Imam Ali. They say, we, Khalifa Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, they destroyed the grave of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. They came to Najaf al-Ashraf, they raided, they used to make raids, and they destroyed grave of Imam Hussein. What kind of respect and love you have? These are enemies of Ahlul Bayt who do like these kind of things. Because they say, we are the Shias, we love Ali ibn Abi Talib also. This is not a love. This is a sign of hate when you come and destroy, desecrate. Again, the same thing happened in Medina. Medina, they're flat graves. There were shrines before. But these Wahhabis, they destroyed the graves of the infallible. So, like, I'll not go too much in the philosophy of Ziyarat. Basically, we have, like, Imam Ali Salatu Wasalam says, whoever comes for our Ziyarat, number one, du'as will be accepted, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you to do dua from them. One guy comes to Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu, says, Yabna Rasulullah. He comes and visits because Imam was sick. So he said, take this money and go Karbala and do visit on my behalf to Imam Hussein and do dua under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So he said, Yabna Rasulullah, you are Imam also. Why don't you do dua from here? You are infallible Imam. Imam said, yes, it's there. I can do dua from here and I can get shafa from here. But I want to do dua from there because Allah loves. See what Allah loves, the pleasure of Allah. Allah loves for His servant to do dua from that sacred place, from the shrine of Imam Hussein. Because dua is mustajab. Imam's dua is mustajab also, but he wants to please Allah by his dua elevating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And his sins will be forgiven. Whoever visits Imams alayhi salatu wasalam as they have visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reward of visiting Imam Hussein is like thousands of Hajj and thousands of Umrah and all those great rewards you can find in Kamil al-Ziyarat. Whoever comes for the Ziyarat of Imam Hussein will deserve the intercession of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment. And the shrine is part of the paradise. Hiya wallahi rawdatun min riyad al jannah. By God, these are the gardens of the gardens of paradise. And angels, they keep ascending and descending from these shrines. The sins are forgiven, as you mentioned. And a person comes out from this ziyar because you're smearing your soul with the spirit of Imam, with the visitation of Imam. So you come out clean, clean slate, as your mother has given a new birth to you. So basically anything that will appear on the Day of Judgment will be produced by our actions. So it's the manifestation. The visitation will be intercession for us on the Day of Judgment. It will be converted to an intercession. And in reality, so if we go to Ziyarat, we have to feel that kind of change of heart, revive our spirit, regeneration of our faith, development of our character, and improvement of our behavior. All these things are important. It's a kind of transformation. So we give our pledge of allegiance. Oh my master, you know, you refresh your relation with your Imam. Now I'm going to go back and inshallah I'll behave. I'll be Adami, as they say. Kun insan, ya haywan. Like sometimes people, they do wrong thing. They say, ya haywan, khalik insan. Be human, behave like human, don't act like animal. So insan ban, like in Urdu they say, janwar kida. So when you come, you say, oh Imam, I inshallah I'll be a proper insan, a proper human. I'll avoid mischief, I'll avoid you. You're trying to make a kind, strong relation, renewing your contract with the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, and to obey him. So to, you are making covenant. Like our Imams alayhi salatu, they should be always in the top. Now Najaf al-Ashraf. Let me tell you a little bit about Najaf al-Ashraf. Najaf al-Ashraf, Najaf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me visit Najaf al-Ashraf again and again. The more you visit, the more you are not satisfied. The more you want to go more and more and more. It's like amazing. There's a kind of, this is the miracle spirituality. That many times you go someplace, okay, that's it, I'll go another place. But visiting our info, like Quran, when you read a book, you read another time, third time, fourth time, you get bored. But Quran, you read thousands of times, you don't get bored. You learn more and more out of it. The same thing, our Quran and Natak, speaking Quran, our infallibles, alayhi salatu wasalam. The more you go there, the more you want to go and go. You enjoy Hajj also. You want to go Hajj every year. You want to go Ziyarat every year. It's an amazing experience. You just love to be the house of the infallible. It's the house of your beloved Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. You just want to be there. That's the visitation. So Najaf al-Ashraf. Najaf is basically on Ni-Jaf. Ni was a kind of a big lake, Bahar, Bahar Ni. What happened, this lake or this ocean, the sea dried. It's a sea or it's a lake, big lake, huge lake. Najaf was a big ocean. From four sides, there's land, and in the middle, there's big, huge water. Like it's a sea, like Caspian Sea in Iran, a surrounded sea. So this was, Najaf was a sea. Ni-Jaf, when it got dried up, the sea, it was called Ni-Jaf. Ni-Jaf, oh, the lake Ni, or this sea, Ni, ocean Ni, it got dried. Jeff means that. So it's Najaf. Ni-Jaf, Najaf. So now this is the how it was derived. Now Najaf, you will be surprised. It's an ancient land. Of course, Najaf was not that ancient. But Kufa, Najaf was a cemetery. Kufa was an ancient city. It's 15 minutes drive, Najaf and Kufa. Kufa was an ancient city. Let me talk a little bit about the history. If you go into deep, then you can end up into sessions and sessions. So I don't want to make it too long. Kufa basically, you'll be surprised to know that the first human on the earth, intellectual human, I mean Adam alayhi salatu, was on the land of Kufa. Was on the land of Kufa. Iraq, the first place where the Adam alayhi salam lived, Nuh alayhi salatu lived. It was a retirement place called Wadi Salam, Valley of Peace, Najaf al-Ashraf. Najaf al-Ashraf is Valley of Peace. It was a cemetery. since all time, since Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Najaf was a cemetery. So whenever somebody dies, they bring him to Najaf. Kufa was the city. So this Kufa, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam lived in Kufa. Remember this. It's a very old city. Kufa, Adam lived alayhi salatu wasalam. Who else? Nuh lived in Kufa. Who else? It was a place of retirement. When prophets, their people will be destroyed, their nation will be destroyed, punishment, adab. They want to have a last end retirement life. They are done with their duties. They will come and reside in Najaf al-Ashraf. Like, As-salamu alayka. You visit Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. As-salamu alayka wa ala daji'ayka Adam wa Nuh. May salutations be on you and those who are lying with you inside you in the grave. Body of Nuh, body of Adam. Noah and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they were in this land of Iraq. They were in Kufa. They used to live in Kufa. So they are buried with Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And when they opened the grave to bury Imam Ali, which was designated place, told them to go that place, or the angels, they were taking them to that place. They opened the grave. There was a tablet. This grave has been prepared for by Nuh, by Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. These are secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Prophet Hud, وَعَلَى جَارَيْكَ هُودٍ وَصَالَحٍ. And salams on your neighbors, Prophet Hud and Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. Where was Prophet Hud? Prophet Hud was in Yemen, southern part of Arabian Peninsula, Jazir al-Arabiya, Saudi Arabia. Yemen is south. He was there with Qawm Ad, those giants. After they were destroyed, destructive, he came and resided end of the life in Kufa. Salih, Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. Where was he? He was in Thamud, in Sham, in Syria. When they were destroyed, he came to Iraq and resided. Just keep the map of Iraq in your mind and look at these surrounding cities. So the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, you will see Maharibul Anbiya. Prophet Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, stayed some time in Iraq. All the prophets, you will find they visited or either did their retirement life in the city of Kufa. So Kufa is an ancient city. And Masjid al-Kufa is an ancient mosque. There is mihrab, a niche, the prayer place of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, all the way back to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine this kind of ancient history of the Kufa. None of the cities has this much history except for Kufa and Mecca. Mecca, because Prophet Adam did the Hajj. The first Hajj was done by Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Jibreel taught him how to do the Hajj. And after that, he came and resided to Kufa, or he must be in Kufa and went for Hajj and came back. So the one who kept the base of the Holy Kaaba was Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And that time Makkah did not have inhabitants there. It did not have inhabitants. Like people, there were not. It was a ghost land. There were nobody there. So imagine this. More than that, Kufa was the base. Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know that he lived 950 years. 950 years he preached. The whole earth was drowned. So that means that there must be people on the place of earth. And Prophet Nuh needed that time to give the preaching to the whole people of earth. And he can travel by the power of Allah. 950 years, you need only, if you are walking, you need only 3-4 years to complete the journey by walking on your feet. Like if you cross that sea from Alaska to Russia, that's the only slot. Then you can walk around the earth. So if you start from Canada, you go all the way to Alaska. And then when from Alaska you cross that small part of the ocean or sea to Siberia or Russia, all the way, you can cross the whole earth in less than 2-3 years. So Prophet Nuh lived 950 years and the whole earth was flooded with punishment. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We were not going to punish unless we send a messenger. حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. So Prophet Nuh, because flood was punishment to the whole people of the earth, the entire globe, the globe was drowned by the flood of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore, the Prophet Nuh must have traveled the whole earth and preached. He doesn't need 950 years just to preach people of Iraq. Could be. I mean, not everybody. There are many Iraqis that are decent, but especially people of Kufa, they have bad history. Imam Ali alayhi salam, they gave him hard time. Prophet Yunus, they gave him hard time. So you will see Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, they gave him hard time. يعني all these prophets and imams. Imam Hussein عليه السلام, he was martyred in Karbala. Imam Hassan, he was hurt and tortured by people of Kufa. Not all the people of Kufa, but like with the majority, there's a pattern of the like Bani Israel. Bani Israel, they kill their Anbiya, and they kill the people of Kufa. They kill and they torture, they hurt their Anbiya. So all the Anbiyas who were in Kufa, they were somehow hurt and tortured in a way. So it was like a ground, a base, capital of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was the capital of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. So first of all, it is the land of the first Adam and Nuh, and those were there. And then Anbiya, their retirement were there. Or they used to come and visit this Masjid al-Kufa to get the thawab of doing ibadat there. Because Masjid al-Kufa is very great reward to perform the ibadat in Masjid al-Kufa. It's one of the four masajid: Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabi, Masjid al-Kufa, Masjid al-Aqsa. These four great masajid, that's the one of the top masajid. Like Masjid al-Kufa is top, Masjid al-Haram is top. Of course, Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, is above every masajid. But it is one of these top. Masjid al-Kufa is one of the four top masajid. In riwayat are mentioned about the thawab and all those kind of things. The bottom line is that this kind of position of Kufa and Masjid al-Kufa is a unique position. So Kufa was the capital of Imam Ali alayhi salam, capital of Islam. And it is going to be the capital of our 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. It is mentioned that once the 12th Imam comes out from Mecca, he will go immediately Operation Rescue Iraq. Then he will have peace treaty with Sufyani. Okay, Sufyani will offer him peace treaty. Imam will accept that peace treaty. But then when the Imam's popularity will become stronger and stronger, Sufyani will become threatened. He will fight the Imam. He will be wiped out with all his army. And then Imam will take over all Iraq. And then he will form the capital of the world. Kufa will be the capital of the world. Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu says that, Ka'anni, as I'm foreseeing, as I'm looking at the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, Qa'imuna, he's standing on the pulpits of Kufa, giving lecture. And people from Ajam and Arab and from different parts of the world, they have camped around Masjid al-Kufa. And they're teaching the Quran to the people. And they're like, they're different parts of the world they will be coming. And people are crying. No emotion in Masjid al-Kufa when Imam is giving lecture. People are crying that finally we got it. Followers of Ahlul Bayt have been striving, struggling 1400 years since the loss of the government of Imam Ali by these wicked people. Loss of the Imam Hassan alayhi salam's government by these wicked people. We have been struggling, and finally the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they will, after all this bitter history, we have been butchered, we have been murdered, we have been terrorized, we have been killed, we have been chased, our books have been burned, all this murder after murder, and finally we get to get the peace. Our government, our 12th Imam leading us, that will be an emotional situation. Imam Sadiq says everybody will be crying tears of happiness that finally we got it. Finally we got it. Finally our Imam is there and we have this global government in our hand. So this will be the day for the coming of the Imam. So that's why just when you go there, imagine when you see the pulpit where Imam Ali used to give khutbah, the Nahjul Balagha, the lectures. You see that pulpit is there, the podium of Imam Ali, the pulpit where he used to give people of Kufa lectures after lectures. The same pulpit the 12th Imam is going to stand on it. Just picture the 12th Imam standing on it and you're one of the audience. How emotional your situation will be. How kind of spiritual, you will have kind of spiritual relief in your heart that I'm in front of my Imam is preaching to me. That is a unique. So just imagine these kind of things when you are inside Masjid al-Kufa. Mihrab of Imam Ali. Imagine that night of Qadr when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was putting his head on the sujood and the Ibn Muljim comes and beheads Imam Ali. That's Masjid al-Kufa. And the Laylatul Qadr al-Hazina, sad night of Qadr. Imagine these kind of pictures when you are there. There's Baytul Tasht. Baytul Tasht. Tasht means a big container of water. A huge container like a bathtub. A bathtub. So the house of bathtub. What happened? There was a lady, her people were mad and upset because she was carrying a child. So they brought her to Imam Ali and they wanted to just condemn her and beat the death out of her because she is fornicated and she was virgin. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said that no, let that lady check because this girl is virgin. She has not been violated. So she went inside. The lady said, she's virgin, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Imam Ali said, okay, bring this warm water And he gave method and told them to let her sit inside this warm water. And I don't know what was the detail. But anyhow, it came out that there was a big worm. It came out of her belly. So Imam said that when she was young, she was taking a bath inside a lake or a river. A parasite, a kind of baby worm, went inside her. And it started to grow until it became big. And that's why the belly seemed to be big, because that worm had gone inside the womb. And the womb started to become bigger because of that worm started to become bigger. So that's why this was the situation. And then Dakkatul Qada, because Imam Ali, remember, Saluni qabla an tafqiduni. There were people, they will come and there will be problems after problems and solve the problem. So this was the courtroom of Imam Amir Mu'mineen. Inside Masjid Kufa, there's Dakkatul Qada, the platform of judiciary issue or court, platform of court, where Imam Ali will sit and give judgments. People, they will bring cases and he will give the judgment as a qadi, as a judge. Dakkatul Qada. There's an ancient clock. Ancient clock means that there's a pillar, where in the old days they did not have watch and clocks and all those kind of things. So when the time of Salah, they know by this pillar. Sun rises, sun sets, and the movement of the sun towards this pillar. So they will look at the pillar, okay, it's the time of Salatul Dhuhr. They look at the pillar, okay, it's the time of now Fadilat of Salatul Dhuhr is gone. Now Fadilatul Asr is left. And this is the, so this will be that clock to see the Dhuha from the Qa'ila, from all these different times of the day times. This is all found in Masjid al-Kufa. And there's this big elephant which is called elephant door. All these details, inshallah, if you have some time, just go through them. It's very important. It's like a living museum. The shrines of Ahlul Bayt, Karbala, Najaf, Kufa, these are all living museum. So this is like Kufa, and an importance of Kufa in brief. The capital of the world was the capital of the world in the time of Imam Ali, will be the capital of the world in the time of the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. So this will be the office of Imam, office of the 12th Imam, Masjid al-Kufa. And in Masjid al-Kufa, you will find grave of Muslim ibn Aqil, shrine of Muslim Aqil. You know the story of Muslim Aqil, ambassador of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, who was sent to Kufa to make sure that the Pledge of Allegiance was given by the people of Kufa. And they betrayed, and Muslim ibn Aqil was killed, and he was thrown from the palace. There he lies. And Mukhtar also is buried there, the one who retaliated for Ahlul Bayt, the one who destroyed the government of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, and retaliated, killed Umar ibn Sa'd, and killed Ubayd ibn Ziyad. And he beheaded them and sent the head to Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. That was the time Imam Zainul Abidin, he had felt some kind of sooth in the heart to see these people, the murderers of his father, the murderers of his family. They tortured the women. They finally got the justice in the world. Of course, the justice in the hereafter is going to be worse for them. So finally, that was the first time, a mild smile, because Imam Zainul Abidin used to cry and cry and cry until he died. But that day, when he got this news, he got a mild smile. That was the first time a mild smile was seen on the face of Imam Zainul Abidin since the day of tragedy of Karbala. So Mukhtar is buried there also. After that, Mukhtar was killed, also is buried there. Han ibn Urwa is also buried there. Han ibn Urwa was the host of Muslim ibn Aqil in Kufa. He was one of the companions of Imam Hussein, and also he was wickedly murdered by Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. So a lot of history is there. You need to understand that. And then you will see certain like Masajid, Masjid al-Hannana, Masjid al-... We are going to talk about that later. But main thing is this Masjid al-Kufa is Kufa. And then burial ground is the Najaf al-Ashraf. Najaf al-Ashraf, before it was just a cemetery. That's why when Imam Ali was martyred, they took the body of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and they buried it into the Najaf al-Ashraf. So when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was martyred, he was taken to Najaf al-Ashraf, because Imam Ali used to live in Kufa beside Masjid al-Kufa. Just behind Masjid al-Kufa, you will see the house of Imam Ali. Just picture the house of Imam Ali. There's a room where there's a platform, which is the bed of Imam Ali alayhi salam. When he was martyred, he was giving his wasiyat. You will see that on the right hand side, there's a place of Imam Hassan. Left hand side, place of Imam Hussein. These are places where our imams, they sat, and Imam Ali was giving. Of course, the house has been a little bit renovated, but all the rooms and chambers, they are as same as they were in the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And you will see that Imam Ali had several wives. So you will see the rooms of some of the wives. He had several children. You will see these chambers of the children. And then you will see the library where Imam Hassan and Hussein used to learn the recitation of the Quran, all the maktaba of Imam Hassan and Hussein. And then you also will see a sitting room, living room, the main hall. And then you'll see the water well, which is like a kitchen area. And this water well, basically, what happens in this water well? The water is not hygienic. It has been polluted. But the amazing thing about this water is that many people, they have their disease have been cured. Like I remember one of the sisters, she had a child, and her child has a skin disease on his leg. So she took water from this well, and she started rubbing on the skin. And the child, the doctors could not cure that skin disease. Subhanallah. She used a lot of medicine, nothing. This happened in front of my eyes, that's why I'm telling you. This water, how could not be? So water from the house, from the well of Imam Ali alayhi salatu, from his house, the well which was dug by Imam Ali alayhi salatu. It's the house of Imam Ali. Therefore, now they have taken out a line which goes outside. So you ask them, I want the water from this well. Now it is purified and filterized, so you can drink also this water and put it on your head and shower. It's blessed by the blessing of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. So they have made pipelines outside, you will find this water outside. So this is like the house of Imam Ali. And just imagine the night where Imam Ali, last night, where Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was having iftar with his daughter Kulthum. And then he was coming out the door, just picture the door and the ducks quacking. Imam Ali, like they're crying, they don't go, ya Imam Ali, to the masjid. Like they're feeling that something is bad going to happen. And then his cloth gets attached to the door. And then he said, ishdud hayazimaka lil maut, just strap your belts for the death, because the death is coming, definitely. So all these kind of things, when we hear in the majalis, and when we see the house, we relate to each other. We relate all these historical things with them. This is the house of Imam Ali. Just beside the house of Imam Ali is the palace of Ibn Ziyad. The palace. But what is the palace? This is the remnants and ruins of palace of Ibn Ziyad. It's destroyed. See, we have Masjid al-Kufa. We have palace of Ibn Ziyad. A huge palace. You'll see the chambers of the palace. The basements are still there. And Imam Ali. Imam Ali's house lives. Masjid al-Kufa lives. But palace of Ibn Ziyad is all on the ground. It's destroyed, demolished totally. You will see only chambers of the basements available. It's just a sign that, see, it's just adjacent to house of Imam Ali, the palace of Ibn Ziyad, la'natullah alayh, the palace of Bani Umayyah. It's just adjacent. One falls down and one still living until now. So this is a karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep Imam Ali living with his effects, with his knowledge, with his miracles, with everything. Imam Ali is all the beauty, salamullahi alayhi. So that's why it is very important for us to understand that this kind of relation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Imam Ali, the relation of love, you can feel that kind of spiritual connection of Imam Ali with Allah in his humble house, small house. A lot of things we could talk about the house, but anyhow, these are like small brief sessions just to, when you go to ziyarat, just remember what I talked to you. Because sometimes in the ziyarat, you might not have proper people to tell you all these details, but the relation between Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how strong relation, the spiritual relation. And when we go there, we experience all these kind of things from the house of Imam Ali, from the Masjid al-Kufa, and how we picture from the majalis, whatever we listen. The majalis, we see what happened. And when Imam Ali was brought with blood of the head mixed with his beard, and Imam Hassan and Hussein are carrying him, putting him on his bed, and they're there listening to the wasiyat, and there's a room where they did the kafan to Imam Ali. So this is the house of Imam Ali. And from there, they brought Imam Ali to Najaf al-Ashraf. They buried Imam Ali inside the city of Najaf al-Ashraf, which is 10-15 minutes away from Kufa. And again, one more thing before I go to Najaf al-Ashraf. When you walk a little bit behind, there's a shrine of Maytham al-Tammar. Maytham al-Tammar was one of the loyal companions of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So what happens that Maytham al-Tammar, he was selling tamar, means tamar, selling tamar, dates, seller of the date seller. So he was so much in love with Imam Ali. He used to mention Fadail. Imam Ali told him that, Maytham, you will be crucified one day and your tongue will be taken out. So Maytham al-Tammar was mentioning the Fadail, and he was saying that one day an evil person will crucify me, which was Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad at that time. And Maytham is mentioning Fadail and Fadail. They told Maytham al-Tammar, Maytham, don't talk Fadail of Imam Ali, they will crucify you. He said, I have 7 years, I've been carrying the cross of crucifixion on my shoulder. I've been carrying the cross of crucifixion on my shoulder. I want them to crucify me. on the love of Imam Ali. To hell with them. I want them to crucify me. I will not stop mentioning the merits and fadail of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. See the love. He kept continuously mentioning fadail. Ibn Ziyad doesn't like that. Ibn Ziyad is telling people bad talk about Ali ibn Abi Talib. Insult Ali ibn Abi Talib. Abuse Ali ibn Abi Talib. He is opposite. He's a campaign media against that media. See, that's the jihad. Kalimatu haqq amama sultanin ja'ir. Truthful word in front of the oppressor, sultan or king, is jihad in fi sabilillah. That's the biggest jihad. To speak the truth in front of the oppressor. So what happened that he kept speaking and speaking? So now Ubaidullah get annoyed. He said, my beloved Amir al-Mu'mineen told me that you are going to crucify me and my tongue is going to be taken out by you. So he will never crucify him. He said, no, I'm not going to crucify. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to kill you. Then you are going to kill me. Because if he kills him, this will be the prediction of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib came true. He will be manifesting the future, prediction of the future. That Imam Ali told the future. He knew the ghaib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Imam Ali the ghaib. That in Imam Ali's higher rank. So he wants to go against this. Maytham is giving a prediction. He wants to go against this prediction. And finally what happened? Ibn Ziyad, like that, he could not tolerate. He crucified Maytham. But he said, don't take his tongue out. So I want to belay Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib said that his tongue will be taken out. No, we are not going to take his tongue out. Just leave, let him die on the crucifixion. So he was crucified and he keeps saying fadail, fadail after fadail, merits of Imam Ali, the qualities, characteristics of Imam Ali, one after another. Oh, this guy, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, la'anatullah alayh, he could not handle, he could not tolerate. He said, cut off his tongue. Take his tongue out. And they took his tongue out and there he started to bleed and he was martyred. So this is Maytham al-Tammar, who never ever gave up loving Imam Ali and mentioning his fadail after fadail. He sacrificed his life, his tongue, his life. And he was not afraid of anybody. He said, I'm carrying the cross of crucifixion. 7 years on my shoulder, let them do. This is the love of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And subhanAllah, is buried just behind the house of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib if you go in Kufa. One more important thing in Kufa, Masjid al-Sahla. Masjid al-Sahla is also a sacred masjid. Some of the Immas, alayhi salatu, they offer salat there. They offer the special ibadah there. The special ibadah. To us, mostly, it's going to be the house of our beloved 12th Imam. Remember, Masjid al-Kufa will be his office. Masjid, office, courtroom, everything. It will be his government. Masjid al-Sahla in Kufa will be his house, residential place. His family will be living there, his children, his family. So this will be his residential place. And then Masjid al-Sahla, we go there also, we perform that connection, communication with our beloved 12th Imam. Many times people, they have seen the 12th Imam there. There are also worships that if somebody goes like 40 Wednesday nights, he worships there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the 40th night, he will see the 12th Imam. He might not know him. If he has a problem, his problem will be solved. He'll be relieved. And you will see chambers in Masjid al-Kufa, side chambers, and in Masjid al-Sahla. These side chambers are chambers for i'tikaf. That means people, they will be coming before with their families. They will sit in this chamber with their family. They will eat and drink and do the a'mal of i'tikaf. So these chambers are for people, basically, they come and they stay there. But nowadays, of course, everybody goes there and does the ibadah. But Masjid al-Sahla, remember, communicate with your 12th Imam. Communicate, you will see the effect of the 12th Imam. The 12th Imam is there every Wednesday night, every Tuesday night. He goes there. It's a house of 12th Imam. It's the residential place of the 12th Imam. So you will have that kind of spiritual connection with the existence of the 12th Imam there. If you open your heart and connect with him, you will find him. You might see him. You might touch his hand. You might, many of them, they have faced these kind of experiences. And later on, oh, who was this? Oh my goodness. You feel it inside your heart that this person is someone not a regular, someone special. Later on you feel it. Once everything happens, what was he doing? Like one person, is the wallet was lost. And he kept, and then he did tawassul, the 12th Imam. And while he was leaving, one guy came, hey brother, this is your wallet? Yes. He gave him the wallet and he left. Who is he? And how did he know that this is my wallet? From thousands of people there in Masjid al-Kufa. If you go to the Makhsus Ziyarat, like 40 Chahlum of Imam Hussein or Ashura, it's millions of people packed in Masjid al-Kufa. How did this person know that this is my wallet? And the money was complete inside. Nothing was left. These kind of things, and more like these things happen a lot in Masjid al-Kufa. It's not weird. This is how it is, the connection with the 12th Imam. So basically, just go in there, communicate with the 12th Imam, make connections with the 12th Imam. He's your living Imam with the body and soul. If you're connecting with our soul Imams, what about body and soul Imam? He's our authority now. So that's why it's a very unique experience. This is a little bit about the Kufa. There's Masjid al-Hannana and there's Masjid Kumail ibn Ziyad and all those kind of things are there. But these were the main things. Kumail is the one who is Dua Kumail. He's buried there. And Masjid al-Hannana is... It's mentioned that when the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was brought here, when the head of Imam Hussein, after Imam Hussein alayhi salam was beheaded, his head was taken to Sham. While the caravan was moving, they kept the head here. When they kept the head here in this masjid, the jinns, there was a sound of grieving and mourning. These were the jinns, they were crying on the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, because Imam Hussein is the Imam of jinn and ins. Don't tell me, oh jinn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was reciting the Quran and the jinns were listening to the Quran and watching and observing. And they came and they embraced the Islam. So there are jinns, Shias and jinns, non-Shias as well. So these Shia jinns, those who loved Imam Hussein, they were crying on Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam's martyrdom. Because a group of jinn came to Imam Hussein on Karbala and told them, give us command. He said, no. Angels, they came. Imam Hussein said, no. So Imam Hussein said, no. This is my and only my, like I have to challenge them, face them. I'm not here to fight them. If it was war, that was something else. But I'm not here to make war. I'm here peacefully. They are the one that are attacking me. They are the one that are violating. And in this sacrifice, there is the safety of Islam and security of Islam and continuation of Islam. So that's why Imam Hussein accepted the sacrifice and told the jinns, thank you so much. Told the angels, thank you so much. Told the beasts and animals, thank you so much. It was not. Imam Hussein, even on the night of Ashura, told his companions to go. Many of them, they left, but the 72, they stayed with Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why Imam Hussein gave them an option. I don't want. They want me, either kill me or pledge. It's not about war. These companions, they defended Imam Ali and that was like a war situation. But Imam Hussein told them, go. They want to kill me. And let them kill me because I'm not going to give them the pledge of allegiance. See, either die or give pledge of allegiance. No pledge of allegiance. So this is like a Masjid al-Hannana. And also it's mentioned that when Imam Ali's body was taken from Kufa to Najaf al-Ashraf, they carried the funeral procession. What happened? There was a kind of strange thing happened in this masjid. They said the wall leaned down or something like that in respect to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why it's very important to understand these kind of significant things about Kufa. There are a lot of things, but we go these short trips, we barely cover these main things. And then we come to Najaf al-Ashraf. Najaf al-Ashraf, I'm going to leave it for our next session. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.